This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
We know the air is unfit to breathe and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest, I don't want you to riot, I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. My life has value. So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window. Open it and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell and I'm not going to take this anymore. I want you to get up right now. Get up, go to your windows, open them and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell and I'm not going to take this anymore. Then we'll figure out what to do about the depression and the inflation and the oil crisis. But first, get up out of your chairs, open the window, stick your head out and yell and say, I'm as mad as hell and I'm not going to take this anymore.
It's 15 minutes after 4 p.m. here in Central Virginia. My name is Coy Barefoot, and this is Charlottesville Right Now. It's News Radio 1070 WINA, where at 97 degrees, we are as mad as hell, and we're certainly not going to take it anymore. He's our own Howard Beale. John Whitehead is the co-founder and the president at the Rutherford Institute, online at rutherford.org, and he joins me on the program. How are you, sir?
Hey, fine. How you doing?
Good. One of my favorite movies. You like that movie?
Yeah, I love it. Howard Beale, love him.
Yeah, he is fantastic. So let me, before we talk about your most recent commentary, your thoughts about the Reclaim the Civil Rights Movement, Restore Honor et al. Rally, the Glenn Beck rally in Washington, which news sources say attracted, what was it, about 87,000 people, I think it was.
Is that right? Because I've heard 300,000, 500,000, I've heard a million.
Yes. The organizers said 500,000. The media who counted said it was about 87,000.
Beck said 500,000. So anyway, I actually read Glenn Beck's speech. He didn't talk much about the civil rights movement. I read it really carefully. The speech is about America's civil religion. He talks about divine providence, the monuments, George Washington, Moses with his famous stick, you know, which he parted the waves of the water, and mentions Jesus once. So it's basically what we call American civil religion, which can be dangerous where the state becomes the focus of religion. And I think that's basically why I read the speech. I may be writing on this speech because I think it really sums up what a lot of people want to see happen. And But I don't see much about Martin Luther King. Martin Luther King's mentioned scantily, so
yeah.
I don't see anything about reclaiming the civil rights movement. They may think they're doing that, but I don't see that. You really can't put yourself in Martin Luther King's position. I mean, he was beaten, jailed, you know, and his followers were beaten, jailed, killed, hung, shot. He was eventually shot. So comparing yourself to Martin Luther King is not a good way to begin anyway. But his speech wasn't really about any of that. The speech is about the nation returning to God. That's whatever he means by that. And it's not really clear as I read his speech.
Yeah. We're talking with John Whitehead of the Rutherford Institute. Phone lines are open at 977-1070. I was confused, to be honest, because it got all this play as being about reclaiming the civil rights movement. And then he said, no, it's about honoring those who serve. And Sarah Palin was asked to speak as the mother of a serviceman serving in the armed forces. And yet the whole rally, when it was said and done, seemed to be about putting God back in government and God back in the schools and God back in politics.
Yeah, religion. I mean, but it's really familiar. I'll be writing again. As I said, I'll probably write something on this. The American civil religion can be quite dangerous. All demagogues over the past have used that to unify people, and the sacred grounds become the monuments. He talks a lot about the monuments and the generals and Gettysburg, and you know, Memorial Day becomes a sacred day because people have lost their lives to the American civil religion. So. Just reading the speech, I didn't see much about civil rights or those kind of things. It's rallying people, but again, as I read, it's not a great speech or anything like that. It's not something I don't think anybody will remember. I mean, it's not I Have a Dream or, you know, the great Martin Luther King. No, this man's not Martin Luther King. I mean, I don't think anybody really believes that, do they?
Yeah, well, I think that as you have discovered better than I, there are a lot of people who take him very seriously, and Greg might be one. Greg's with us on the program. Greg, happy Monday.
Well, I do. I take him seriously as well.
Yeah. Greg, go ahead.
Hey, how are you? And hey, Mr. White, I really respect you, and you too, Coy. But my thing with the Glenn Beck notion and a lot of people in America like me is we don't want the government to sponsor, say, Catholicism or a Presbyterian or a Muslim church, but we want to be able to go to school like I did when I was a kid and pray to Jesus out loud. We want to salute the American flag. We don't want a county office, you know, board of supervisors meeting, say, a moment that says, you know, let's thank God for our stuff. What we're trying to say is that we want not to have to walk on eggshells out of this insane political correctness that is destroying our country right now. And I'm going to sign off and let you comment.
Greg, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. John Whitehead.
100% right. I agree with you. I think religious freedom should be respected in schools. It's not really. I see that happening. The schools have been totally secularized. I mean, we get complaints from Jewish parents and Christian parents, Muslim parents, what's happening in the schools. And yeah, I mean,
Here's my question, John. How is praying? Let me ask you, John. Let me ask you this: how is praying to Jesus going to help somebody learn algebra or understand Faulkner? That's what I've never understood.
I'm not sure that's going to do that, but you know, what I'm saying is, some of these kids, you know, want, you know, to be able to hand out tracts in the hallways like other kids. I think it should be treated equally.
Yeah.
And again, most of the cases we see, they're not, because there's sort of this phobia over separation of church and state. But
yeah.
Again, as I read Glenn Beck's speech, I don't see that in there. I don't see where he's talking about any of that. I see where he's talking about something entirely different. But, yeah, I agree. People, if anybody knows me, I've fought for Jews and Christians and Muslims in schools to have the right to be treated fairly in terms of their religious speech. So, but I don't, again, as I read the Beck speech, I don't see that.
You don't see that as being part of what his
message
was?
That's not what he's saying,
yeah, yeah.
No. You should read the speech. You can actually download it now and read it. If you really want to see what he had to say, it's not anything. It's basically what I see presidents say on President's Day.
Interesting.
I mean, it's not anything radical or different than I see John F. Kennedy said in some of his speeches, or Lincoln. So it's basically stuff that you learned in school as a kid, you know, civics kind of stuff,
yeah.
You know.
We're talking with John Whitehead of the Rutherford Institute. Celia is with us in Fluvanna. Celia, go right ahead.
Hi. Just wanted to make a couple comments. First of all, Glenn never intimated that he was trying to be Martin Luther King or to add to his speech or detract from his speech. As far as reclaiming the civil rights, he didn't mean take it from anybody. He just meant that it's been perverted. Some of his speech has been perverted over the years. And
how so?
Just that in different people, at Reverend Sharpton, for example.
He's perverted it. How?
In the way that he makes it a racial thing. I mean, I realize that it does have to do with race. Yes, it does have to do with race. But Glenn wants to get it back to content of character, not the color of the skin. And that seems to have been lost. And that applies to all races, not just black people, not just white people.
Celia, thanks for the call. John?
Yeah, Martin Luther King was really clear on that. I mean, he even, again, you're talking to someone who has studied Martin Luther King very carefully. In fact, I have his book of writings right here to my left, my desk. He even said the Ku Klux Klan. I mean, he said you should look at upon them with respect. You shouldn't downgrade your enemy. So those are all noble characteristics. And as I'm reading Beck's speech, I see that in there. I mean, he's very inclusive in this speech. There's no doubt about it. He talks about Muslims and Christians and Jews in one sentence and includes all of them.
Yeah. We're talking with John Whitehead of the Rutherford Institute. John, if we could change gears here, I wanted to ask you about your most recent commentary. It was published today, actually, regarding more evidence of the surveillance state as government invests in high-tech monitoring equipment. So what have you discovered? What is the scanner equipment that is being used right here in our town?
Well, as a follow-up on what we're talking about, Glenn Beck, I wish he would talk more about this kind of stuff, what's happening in the country. Yeah. What's happened, and I've written extensively on, as you know, Coy, but we're erecting a surveillance state in this country, and it's getting worse and worse. And I talk about three different devices that are just coming upon the market, and we actually have one of them in Charlottesville, and that's the license plate recognition scanners that are on police cars, which sweep all license plates and record, and then they go into a data machine. And some police departments claim they do not keep these records, but what we found out is that a lot do keep records. For example, as they drive along the streets, go in the parking lot, and they see all the license plates, and they're scanning them and recording them. If you're in seeing a doctor or whatever, they will know where you were on that day. In other words, it's basically a search. It's bypassing the Fourth Amendment. The other thing that was just unveiled the last couple of weeks, which is really much more dangerous, is mobile scanners. They're put in nondescript vans, and the police or government agents can drive by your house and actually scan your house and see what you're doing, whether you're drinking coffee, you may be having sex with your wife or whatever. They can actually do that. And then, again, people should go and read my, this is a very detailed commentary, as you know, on Rutherford.org. They can go read the commentary. But then scanners in airports, which are going to be everywhere. They're going to be in every airport. What the experts show that the scanners do not work in airports are probably to stop the terrorists. They put stuff up their cavities, male and female both. And also, some doctors are telling pregnant women and children not to go through scanners. They could be very dangerous to your health because of the exposure to x-rays. But what, at the bottom of the day, as I talk about, as you know in the commentary, is why are we seeing such a push on scanners in airports? Supposedly it was the Christmas Day underwear bomber, the bungler. But as I show, the large corporations are pushing for this. Right after the Christmas Day event with the underwear bomber, Michael Chertoff, who is connected to a group called Rapiscan Systems, went on all the media shows, tell people he was connected to this group pushing scanners. And it's a big corporations that are pushing scanners through the Transportation Security Agency, which controls airports. So about $100 million probably is going to be spent on scanners, and we're going to have to go through them, even though they don't work very effectively and they may be dangerous to our health.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.